I'm Laura Kanoy. Thanks for listening to The Exchange, and thanks for supporting The Exchange. Membership contributions of all sizes make up about 40% of our annual funding at NHPR. Your sustaining membership donation of just $5 or $10 a month helps us produce this hour-long discussion. Become a sustainer today by clicking on the support link at the top of the page. From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. New Hampshire's gas tax hasn't been raised in more than 20 years, but that could change this year. House lawmakers have already voted once in favor of a bill promoting a 15-cent increase phased in over 4 years. And tomorrow, the Ways and Means Committee reviews the measure again before sending it back for a final House vote. Supporters have long argued that it's high time to raise the tax because highway fund revenues are falling way behind the cost of maintaining our roads and bridges, and that over 10 years, the increase could bring in about $1 billion for infrastructure. But opponents say that's far too big a tax hit, especially as the state recovers only slowly from recession. Some have also warned that politicians who support higher prices at the pump this year will pay a price at the polls in next year's election. Today in The Exchange, the gas tax in the Granite State. Let's hear from you. Should this tax be raised or not? If so, by how much? If not, why not? And what are some other alternative ways that we might raise revenue to pay for roads and bridges? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. With us in studio, David Campbell, Democratic representative from Nashua, chair of the Public Works and Highways Committee, and sponsor of the bill that I mentioned to raise the gas tax to pay for infrastructure. Representative Campbell, good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
Also with us, Andy Sanborn, Republican Senator from Bedford, Chair of the Commerce Committee. He's also on the Healthcare Oversight Committee. And Senator Sanborn, thank you also for giving us your time.
Laura, as always, thanks so much for having me today.
Well, and Representative Campbell, let's start with you. Why now? It hasn't been raised in 22 years. Why do it this year?
Well, New Hampshire is in the middle of an infrastructure crisis right now. And New Hampshire residents will be far worse off individually, and our overall economy will suffer more if we continue to neglect fixing our roads and bridges. Four major areas. First off, I-93, the major transportation artery in the state, is $250 million short. $250 million. Without new revenue, that road will not be finished and it will not work. Second area, our roads. Our roads in the year 2000, 600 miles of our roads were rated in poor condition. 2012, 1,600. That's over a third of the 4,500 miles of road we have in the state. That means two things. You get more poor roads, it becomes more expensive. It costs $51,000 to pave a good road. It can cost up to $1 million to reconstruct a whole road. So the more poor roads you get, the costs are going up. The delay is costing the taxpayers more money. Third area, red-listed bridges. Between the state and the municipal bridges, we have red-listed bridges, which means they have one structural defect. We have almost 500 in the state. That number will continue to grow. Municipal bridges will continue to close unless we fix the problem. And the last thing is just the municipal crisis. Their problems are as bad as the state's.
Yeah, we talked with some municipal folks yesterday looking at roads and bridges and the struggle to keep them updated. Senator Sanborn, here you have Representative Campbell laying out his case for why we need more infrastructure money. Why don't you think that this is a good idea?
Well, Laura, I think we can all agree to the fact that, you know, roads are a fundamental basic requirement of what government's all about. Roads, public safety. So in that context, everyone is supportive of making sure we do the right thing. However, things to consider include, we have to remember that in 2008, we were spending about $500 million on roads. Now we're spending $600 million on roads today, even without the gas tax. So we've seen a 20% increase in what we're spending. And again, you know, most people listening today recognize that we're in a recession. People don't have a lot of extra money, and their pay hasn't gone up 20%. You know, this is a tax which, in the aggregate, looks to increase taxes about $240 million out of people's pockets. It's a tremendous amount of money, tremendous amount of money. of which we know only about 12% will go back to your local community. And then there's always also this concern, which I think we'll talk about a little later, about the concern that there's a, you know, a side shifting of the funds. You know, there's a long established history of people wanting to repair our roads, of raising taxes to repair our roads, but then the slider doors tend to open up and all the money kind of goes out the side. And how do you control that? You know, today we're spending 28% of that money on other things other than truly fixing roads. So those types of concerns have a lot of legislators, especially over here in the Senate, really concerned about the integrity of where the money goes and whether or not people can really afford it.
Yeah, and that's an important point that has come up a lot, as you well know, Representative Campbell. What guarantee is there that 100% of the proceeds from this 15-cent increase would go towards those roads and bridges that you mentioned? Because Senator Sanborn is right. There's a lot of concern
right.
about this.
The bill, as introduced, has a separate fund within the Protected Highway Fund that says that every bit of highway money that goes this goes into the highway fund will go into a separate account for municipal and state roads and bridges. Now, there's something called the unrefunded toll monies, which means that people that don't use it for highway purposes, for boats, for snowmobiles, they have an opportunity to ask for that money back. It never goes into the highway fund. And in the past, there's been a formula where that money, which is about $1.5 to $1.7 million under this bill, would go to different departments. Well, there's an amendment coming in, sponsored by members of the Public Works and Highways Committee, going to Ways and Means, that's going to shut that down and say that every penny of that will also go to the Highway Betterment Fund, which goes to the six districts. So when this, if that amendment is accepted, then every single penny raised in the increase of this tax, which is called the road toll, actually, but every single penny will go to roads and bridges.
So,
every penny.
So there's a bill, and then there's amendment to that bill, which says, yes, folks, every single penny.
That's going to be introduced tomorrow to Ways and Means, yes.
Okay, so that's what's happening now with
right.
this. I also want to invite our listeners to join us. The number is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, 1-800-892-6477. Tell us what you think. Should New Hampshire raise the gas tax to pay for infrastructure, for those red-listed bridges that our guest mentions, for that one-third of our roads rated in poor condition? Or do you think there might be other ways to fund infrastructure? 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Senator Sanborn, jump in here. Does that amendment that Representative Campbell talked about, 100% of this going to roads and bridges, does that make you feel better?
Well, I always feel better whenever I talk to Representative Campbell because he's a great guy and very knowledgeable. But I'm not sure in this case, Laura, I can agree with the quote-unquote 100%, because we have to remember about 28 cents on the dollar is still being side-shifted out to other parts of our government. Now, we can contend whether or not the use of that 28% diversion is good or bad, but we're still side-shifting. You remember that the Department of Transportation has a budget of about $73 million, and this is a gas tax that's going to raise an additional $126 million a year. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for people who are struggling so hard right now in this economy. And again, there seems to be no limit on this 28% side shift we see, in addition to what Representative Campbell is talking about with this, you know, again, yet another one of these opportunities to kind of dig into the fund with this other refundable portion of the gas tax. So if we're doing it on a percentage basis, we increase the gas tax from where it is today at 18 cents, raise another $126 million a year in gas tax. 28% of that will also come out today as the legislation is presented. So we're still seeing dramatic side shifts of the money.
Now, side shifts to things like state troopers, though, which some people argue, hey, that's part of making the roads and bridges safe places. You want those state troopers there.
You know, our state police, our men and women in green and blue all across the state, they do an amazing job. But we have to be very disciplined in how we spend people's tax dollars. And some would suggest that if we're raising money to fix the roads, should we be using it to patrol the roads? It's a very valid question. It's a very, very valid question.
But I don't want to let anybody misunderstand this. There are highway funds that go to fund the state troopers. That's existing. This increase, every single penny of it, every single dollar of it goes to fix roads and bridges. None of it goes to the Department of Safety. None of it goes to Fish and Game, assuming this amendment is adopted. It's all going to go to roads and bridges.
The increase. The stuff that's there
everything,
now will
everything
still
that
go
people,
to state troopers.
Everything that people
and so
were talking about in terms of increasing the road toll / gas tax in order to get more money, more revenue to fix our problems, All of that money is going to fix our problems. That's what the people want. That's what the legislators have made very clear that they want. And that's how we're fixing the bill.
Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. Give us your questions and comments on whether New Hampshire should increase the gas tax or not. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And gentlemen, let's take a call from our listeners. Brian joins us from Concord. Hi, Brian. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Okay.
I just wanted to comment and say maybe it would be an easier sell if, you know, we only made this tax increase for like 1 year or something instead of saying this is an indefinite, you know, tax increase. And my other comment quickly is just that it's common knowledge that city and state employees, let's just say they work at a relaxed pace. And, you know, we see it driving by them when there's 10 guys on a very small job. You know, maybe we need to crack down on the efficiency of the system. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Brian, thanks. 2 points to follow up on. Representative Campbell, what do you think about his first point? Just raise it for a year.
Well, we didn't pick these numbers out of the air. The reason the numbers were picked was working with DOT. That was the number you needed over a 10 or 12-year horizon to address the problems, to finish I-93, to put downward pressure on red-listed bridges, to start to reverse the trend with poor roads, which, by the way, get more expensive every year you delay. So that's why those numbers were picked. Can there be compromise on this? Of course there can be. Can it come down some? Of course it can. However, the more you bring it down, the more you're, again, neglecting problems that get more expensive in the future. One thing that's kind of striking is just to get back to where we are today in the next budget, you'd have to raise the gas tax 4 cents because there's some one-time revenue fixes that were put in by the previous administration, the previous legislatures. For instance, the sale of the I-95, a portion of it from the state fund to the turnpike fund. That's how we got some money in. That money runs out.
Right. That was something.
So the first 4 cents just gets us back to even. And then you got to start working on problems.
What about the other point that our caller makes, Senator Sanborn? Could we squeeze more efficiencies out of DOT? We often hear from callers when we talk about roads. They don't understand why there's so many folks, as he put it, standing around when a road is being fixed.
You know, I think in any organization, there are great employees, and every once in a while there are some employees that might not be working at the same pace. So I don't think it's correct to make a blanket statement on every employee because there are good and bad in every organization. But the point I think the caller was really trying to make is they're really concerned about how government is spending their money and how wisely it is. As Representative Campbell had just alluded to, you know, one of these concerns of, you know, do you want to give government more money before they can prove to you today they're spending the money wisely, because they are inevitably trying to find other ways and have that ability to bring in amendments to move the money all around. And that's a real big concern for
people. So when DOT says this is what we need to, you know, upgrade and maintain, you're skeptical that that is really what they need? Is that what you're saying there?
No, I'm not as skeptical with DOT as I am more skeptical of the legislature. As you know, I tend to be pretty frugal. I'm skeptical of a legislature that can, you know, has this capacity through legislative action to go back and shift the money. What happens if next year someone wants to come in and override the amendment that Representative Campbell's trying to put in today?
I see what you're saying. All right, gentlemen, we are going to take a very short break. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll take your calls in just a few more minutes, but we're going to check in very quickly now with our March membership drive.
Hearing the Exchange is one of the reasons you value NHPR. So help us keep the Exchange coming your way by giving to NHPR now during the March Fund Drive. You can do that online at nhpr.org or by calling 1-888-805-6477. I'm Emily Corwin along with Rebecca Lavoie.
And when you do give, please become a sustaining member right now, because your contribution will be worth an additional $50 to NHPR. That's because the Mackinich Foundation will donate $50 to NHPR just because you became a sustaining member. So if you give $5 a month, we get $50. If you give $100 a month, we get $50. I think you can do the math. 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org.
So we have a goal of 30 pledges in the next 38 minutes to stay on track this hour by calling 1-888-805-6477. Right now, you can help us pay for the Exchange. Web pledges count toward that goal too. You can give online at nhpr.org. It's easy and it really does make a difference. So please call 1-888-805-6477. 805-6477.
The phones have been lighting up this morning. The web has been lighting up. 25 pledges now to go in the next 38 minutes. This is because we have a great thank you gift deal this morning. For just $10 a month, you can get the Eton Emergency Radio. This is something we usually give to people who contribute at the $240 level. It's a great device. It's a must-have. It cranks to charge. It can charge your cell phone in an emergency. It's got a flashlight built in, and of course, you can use it to listen to NHPR anywhere you go. Make your $10 a month sustaining contribution at nhpr.org or give us a call, 1-888-805-6477.
And you know, giving takes only 2 minutes of your time. We just need a name and contact information, which we keep private. And you can become a sustaining member using Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. You can make a one-time gift as well. So please give now while it's on your mind. It's 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
We've heard some from wonderful listeners this morning. Guy from Keene, who says NHPR is the best radio one can listen to get an honest look at the story. I may not agree all the time, but I am always informed. That is why we were here. That is why you listen. We're looking to hear from 25 people who feel the same way in the next 37 minutes. 1-888-805-6477. You can also go online, nhpr.org.
And if you become a sustaining member right now, NHPR receives an additional $50 donation from the McInnish Foundation. Sustaining membership is the best way to support NHPR. That's when you charge a small monthly amount to your credit card on an ongoing basis. So your membership will automatically renew each year, which saves NHPR a lot of time and money. So more of your, and that makes more of your gift go toward paying for the exchange, for example. Today, only the McInnish Foundation will donate an additional $50 to NHPR if you become a sustaining member at $5 only, at $10, even $30 a month. So why not sign up right now? All you got to do is go to nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
We're looking for 23 more people to give us a call in the next 37 minutes. Everyone who donates at $10 a month will get not only get an NHPR an additional $50, but will it be eligible for this great thank you gift, the Eton Radio, which we usually give away at a pledge level of $240. It's a great emergency device to have around the house. It's great to give as a gift. Of course, you can use it to listen to NHPR. They have been flying out the door this morning, so get yours now with $10 a month at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
And supporting NHPR today is one of the best things you can do with just 2 minutes of your time. Just provide your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and which credit card you'd like to use, and your financial support will help us. All you got to do is go to nhpr.org. Thanks so much.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Comcast Business Class, helping New Hampshire businesses prosper and grow with support of the 2013 Made in New Hampshire Expo. Details at businessnhmagazine.com. And from Elliott Urgent Care in downtown Manchester, an alternative to an emergency department for accidents, illnesses, and injuries, or when your doctor's office is closed. ElliottRiversEdge.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the gas tax debate accelerates in the Granite State. How much should New Hampshire drivers pay for road and bridge repairs? We invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests. Senator Andy Sanborn is here, Republican Senator from Bedford, Chair of the Commerce Committee, and Representative David Campbell, Democratic State Rep from Nashua, Chair of the Public Works and Highways Committee and sponsor of a bill that would raise the gas tax 15 cents to pay for infrastructure. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about this. Should New Hampshire raise the gas tax to pay for roads or bridges or not? If not, why not? And whether some other alternative ways that we might raise revenue for infrastructure. One more time, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And Senator Sanborn, I want to turn back to you. You earlier expressed your concern about the impact of raising the gas tax on Granite Staters. You know, officially we're out of recession, but people are still struggling.
Not sure I'm agreeing
officially,
with that one, Laura.
I'm just the National Bureau of Economic Statistics, or NBER. They're the ones that officially say we're out. They say we've been out since June of 2009. So if not through gas taxes, what do you think, Senator Sanborn? How else should road and bridge improvements be paid for?
You know, Laura, I don't think people have a concern about using gas taxes to fix roads. Where in this case, I think they have the concern that it could be more efficient. We could be using just the money we raise for roads solely for roads, because, again, we know about 28% is being sent to other things, as the number could be higher. But in addition to that, this is a massive increase. And with all due respect to the representative, he's love him to death. He's a great guy. You know, we're talking $240 to $260 million of a new tax. And, you know, that makes anyone's socks roll down a little bit when they think about just the magnitude of money coming out of their pockets. So, you know, again, we spent $500 million. Now we're spending $600 million. We are spending money on our roads. 10 years ago, if you go back 10 years, our 10-year highway plan in its aggregate said, you know, we were in horrible shape. We were $10 billion upside down on the money we needed to spend. You know, 10 years later, it's the exact same conversation. So it at some level, people get concerned. It's kind of falling on the deaf ears of the hand is always out, that we always need more in that expectation. Let's just be efficient with what we've got.
Would you feel better if the increase proposed were 7 cents or 8 cents?
I mean, Laura, you know I'm pretty frugal. And when I look at how difficult life is right now for people economically, I don't believe we're out of the recession. I think things are still tough, and it is not the time to be raising taxes on the hardworking people in the state, because, you know, disproportionately, it's going to hurt those who most can't afford it. If you're making a couple $100,000 a year and your gas bill goes up 30 bucks a week, not a big deal. If you're making $10 an hour and it becomes a question of a gallon of milk or gas in the car, those are the people we should be concerned about, and those are the people that will be hit worse.
Yeah, and this is a big concern, Representative Campbell. Keep coming back to the economic hit to your average Granite Stater.
Well, first off, I want to repeat that every penny of this increase is going to go to roads and bridges. No
diversion. If that amendment gets passed.
Second all, let's put this in perspective for an individual and not use the aggregate numbers. Big numbers scare people. Big numbers are necessary, unfortunately, to fix the problem. But the fact of the matter is, this is a user fee. It's the ultimate user fee. The gas tax is a user fee, which means that the more it was put in place in 1928 when they started building roads for the newfangled, you know, automobiles. The whole idea is the more you drive, the more gas you use, the more gas you use, the more you use the roads, and you pay the road toll to fix them. That's the way it's always been. And for many years, all the way through Mel Thompson raised it, whose motto was Governor Mel Thompson, whose motto was axe the tax, he raised it. Judd Gregg raised it twice during a major recession, last time in 1991. That was the last time we raised it. Since then, the revenue has been flat as far as the rate. It's gone up about 40% because gallons has increased, but the price of asphalt over that same period has gone up 460%. We are losing ground. Now, let's talk about what the impact is to an average Granite Stater. If this is phased in, by the way, this does not happen all at once. It's phased in over time. So
four cents a year,
which is, if you go 12,000 miles a year and you get about 22 or 23 miles a gallon, that's going to be about $22 for each segment of this. It's going to be about $80 when it's totally phased in. Now, that's spread out over the whole year for all your – that's if every penny passes through, and there's ample evidence that it doesn't pass through penny for penny, and we can talk about that later if you like. But there's a study out there that shows that the average Granite Stater is also – spending $323 because of our poor roads in extra auto repairs a year.
You just don't see it as directly, but yep, it bangs up
your car. 20% of this money goes back to the towns and cities to help their roads and bridges. That's going to help your property taxes. And let's not forget the overall impact that this has on the economy. You need good roads and bridges to compete with other states for jobs, for businesses, to hold them and to keep them. If we become a state with terrible roads and bridges, we're going to become a backwater. The state of Wyoming, which has the most Republican legislature in this nation, 87% of both houses, they just raised the gas tax 10 cents in one fell swoop from 14 to 24. They were the lowest in the Frost Belt. We are second. New Jersey's got the lowest gas tax. They have the turnpike system and all the tolls. We have the second lowest. And Wyoming, who's 87% of both houses are Republican controlled, they just raised it 10 cents. They know the problem. It's not a partisan issue.
Well, Senator Sanborn, I want to get your thoughts on that. But first, invite our listeners again to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Emails are welcome, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And up next is John in Wilmot. Hi, John. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura. Hi, gentlemen. I had a question to both of you concerning whether the money was going to be going towards the 93 corridor from Manchester to the border.
And is that a concern for you, John? Is that something you want to see?
I think what's going to happen is that all the greater part of the money that's going to be generated will be going just to do an 18-mile corridor where the rest of the state won't benefit from the majority of the money.
Yeah, yeah, that's an important point. You know, I mean, we say that I-93 is the lifeblood of the state, and this is really important. That was, I think, number one on your list, Representative Campbell. But he's right. There are a lot of folks in the state who very rarely get on I-93. They want some of the money to come their way.
Under current state law, it's the number one priority of the transportation system in New Hampshire.
Under the 10-year highway plan.
Under the 10-year highway plan and in a separate statute. It takes about 25% of over the 10-year period, it takes about 25% of the money, 20 to 25% of it. The alternative is having an airport in Manchester that can't compete with Logan because people can't get it from Northern Mass up to New Hampshire easily. It doesn't just affect the people in that corridor. It affects tourism up north. It affects the ski industry. It affects, you know, the New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Association came out in favor of this. DeMoula Supermarkets, they're the second biggest employer, one of the biggest employers in the state. They're in favor of this. This will have an effect on our economy, and that's why 93 is an important part.
So to his question, the wider interest is there. Even if John never gets on I-93, it's in his economic interest.
That's correct.
I mean, there's no question, Laura. It's going to have an effect on the economy. No question about that. But unfortunately, this is where Representative Campbell and I disagree. I think it's going to have a negative effect on the economy. And when he talks about all these other states that are raising taxes, you know, we might be in a race. I'm not sure this is the race to the top that we really want to have as to who can increase the gas tax the fastest and the highest. No question 93 is a big issue. And I think everyone understands and believes that we need to finish 93. We need to widen it. My personal belief, 4 lanes from the Mass border to Manchester, 3 lanes to Tilton, economically that helps. But we know that it's decades of lawsuits by environmentalists. It's decades of, you know, different priorities that have really been a much more of a driving factor in fixing 93 than actually having the money to do so. If you remember, Representative Campbell knows that the Senate proposed legislation and got it passed to raise about $250 million in Garvey bonds, which are essentially tax anticipation bonds by the federal government. So people see it and they need it. Now, as to the college perspective of wanting to make sure roads are fixed everywhere, he makes a very valid point. If you're up in the North Country, if you're over in Keene, I'm born and raised in Lebanon, we need to make sure that if we're helping everyone, not just one specific demographic or specific road, and something we should be very concerned about.
Well, and Senator Sanborn, you talked earlier about your concern that the average Granite Stater, you know, might struggle to pay higher gas taxes week by week. But then Representative Campbell brought up the other economic side of this coin. You know, bad roads bang up your car. More money to local communities for roads from this increase could help lower local property taxes because a chunk will go to municipalities. Bad roads mean more of an economic hit because, you know, businesses might not want to settle here. Tourists might not want to come here if the roads are crummy. So there's another economic side to this coin. I wonder what you think about
right.
that.
Right. And Laura, on that economic side, you know, let's take Bedford, New Hampshire, just for example. You know, that's where I live. This tax, if you look at everyone in Bedford, there's about 6,800 cars being registered in Bedford today. So predicated on Representative Campbell's numbers that we drive 12,000 miles a year, 22 miles a gallon per car, and we can debate that. That will pull about $1.5 million out of the pockets of the people of just Bedford, New Hampshire. $1.5 million increase in tax just for the residents in Bedford. But when the money gets returned in local roads, remember, we're only returning about 12 cents of the dollar back to local road betterments. So we're pulling $1.5 million out of their pockets. We're sending them back about $160,000. I'm not sure that's a win.
Let's take another call if we could. This is Frank in Bedford, since you mentioned Bedford, Senator Sanborn. And Frank, thanks for joining us. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. First of all, I'd like to ask Senator Sanborn, when did you move to Bedford?
I moved to Bedford about 2 years ago, sir.
Okay. Just before you moved here in Bedford, we approved a bond measure of $18,300,000 because the roads in this town were so terrible. If you're familiar with Bedford Center Road, every time I drive over that road, It's one of the main roads in town. It beats the daylights out of my car. The fact that we haven't had a gas tax increase in 22 years, clearly common sense dictates let's get the gas tax in. You said it could hit people $30 a week. That would be if they're driving, if they're using 750 gallons of gas a week, $30. But a 14-cent increase over 3 years is very reasonable. I think we ought to do it. Stop messing around with let's not raise the tax because it'll hit the taxpayers. Anybody using a car wants roads we can ride on that are safe, smooth, drain well, and don't beat the heck out of their cars. And this whole nonsense of we can't raise it, it's too expensive, to me, is a bunch of hooey. Let's get the tax done. Do it quickly.
Frank, thanks a lot for the call. Senator Sanborn.
Hey, Frank, thanks so much for the call. I truly, truly appreciate it. I mean, there's no question, as we had said at the top of the hour, that making sure our roads are complete and safe and operate well is important, and it's something we all agree on. What we're discussing and debating here is how much, how when, how fast, and how far. And $240 million, and this is what it will cost the people of the state, is a tremendous amount of money. What I have said and what we've said in the Senate time and time again is we need to make sure we're being more efficient with the money. We need to stop the side shifting of, you know, we raise gas tax money. Every single penny should be for gas tax. It shouldn't be redistributed out to other portions of government. You know, $28 million is coming out right now into the Traffic Bureau, and it's a worthy thing. It's worthy of discussion. We should be supporting it. But it's coming out of the gas tax. That alone could help fix the roads in Bedford.
Let me just make sure one thing's crystal clear, because we keep getting back to this diversion issue. Representative Campbell, you said earlier that under this amendment that you guys are going to be looking at tomorrow, the money from this 15-cent increase, none of it will be diverted. Is that correct?
Every penny of it will go to New Hampshire municipal, state roads and bridges.
What about the money raised by the current 18-cent gas tax? Will that continue to
under
go
the Constitution,
to
under the Constitution,
a small amount go to other purposes?
Yes. Under the Constitution, under Article 6A, supervision of the roads and collection of motor vehicle fees is an allowed use. It's not a diversion. It's been allowed. It's been in the budgets for 30 years. It was in the last budget under a legislature that was dominated by both Republican houses. It's now Democratic House and Senate. It's been done for years. That's a sideshow to what I'm talking about, which is the increase in this gas tax. That's diverting the people's attention from where it is, and that's every single penny of this increase will fix roads and bridges. And people understand there's a problem, and I believe they endorse it.
And Senator Sanborn, if you don't like this diversion to other purposes, and as we said earlier, you know, some of that diversion is for state troopers and highway safety programs. So let's say that doesn't happen. Where does the money come from? I mean, we need state troopers.
Oh, we sure do. And they do a great job. You know, we also have to remember, and my concern always continues to be not just the will of the people, but the will and the intent of the legislature that continues to have this, this ability to really change the future as it relates to what type of legislation is passing and where it's going. You know, as the representative have said, we've always taken money out of the highway fund, away from roads to other things. We continue to do that. Just a few years ago, both sides of the aisle came together and said, look, we're doing this too much, too often, too hard. Let's make a calculation and live within that, which gets us
2008,
that,
I think.
2008 gets us that 28% of diversion. Representative Campbell put it in because he's a great guy. But then we see governors suspend those types of rules. Again, sometimes legislatures can be good with your money. Sometimes they can make decisions which make us all have pause.
All right. Well, and speaking of pause, we have to take a short pause here for our March Fund Drive. Let's check in.
You count on NHPR and NPR to be your window to the world. We count on your contributions to keep that window open. It's our March Fund Drive. Please give now at 1-888-805-6477 or give online at nhpr.org. I'm Emily Corwin, and I'm here with Rebecca Lavoie.
And we ask that when you give, consider becoming a sustaining member right now, because when you do today, we have a great challenge on the table. The Mackinich Foundation is giving an additional $50 for everyone who becomes a sustainer. So your $5 a month or $10 a month or $100 a month gets an extra $50 added to the pot. 1-888-805-6477. 805-6477 or go online and sign up for sustaining membership at nhpr.org.
The goal is 12 pledges in the next 19 minutes. $10 or $15 a month on the sustainer plan is all it takes. Help pay for your NHPR listening by calling 1-888-805-6477 or give online at nhpr.org.
We have a great thank you gift special this morning. The phones have been lighting up. The web has been lighting up because we are offering the Eton Emergency Radio at just $10 a month at your level of sustained giving. This is a gift that we usually give away to people who give $240. We have cut that in half, and we're making it super easy with your sustaining membership of just $10 a month withdrawn from your bank account or your credit card. You never have to think about it, and you get this great Eton Emergency Radio. It powers by Crank. It charges your cell phone when the power goes out, and of course, you can use it to listen to NHPR. Check it out at nhpr.org or give us a call, 1-888-805-6477.
And isn't it nice to feel effective and productive? Giving to NHPR takes only 2 minutes, and it's time well spent. So please, nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
We have 12 pledges left to bring in the next 18 minutes. Join Pete from Bedford, who gave because of the great programming. Join David from Ware, who gave because he is willing to pay and reward quality. You're willing to pay and reward quality, too. I know you are. So give us a call, 1-888-805-6477, or go online to nhpr.org.
And today is the day to become a sustaining member of NHPR. That's because the Mackininch Foundation will donate an additional $50 to the station when you sign up for our monthly giving plan. Give it $5 a month. NHPR gets an extra $50. Give $50 per month. NHPR still gets an extra $50. You get the idea. It's a great opportunity to help the station by becoming a monthly sustainer and to help us earn a little extra money. So please sign up now. 1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org.
We are looking for 11 pledges now in the next 18 minutes. And Pete, if you've never given before, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, potential new member who listens 10 or 12 or 20 times a week, the person who may not have thought that their $5 a month or their one-time $60 gift could make a difference. It makes a huge difference. So become a member right now. 1-888-805-6477. You can check out all the benefits of membership at nhpr.org.
Again, that's 11 pledges we're trying to make in the next 17 minutes, and giving to NHPR is so easy. All it takes is a contribution, maybe $60 or $120, and 2 minutes of your time. The benefits will be here all year long in the form of this program, The Exchange, and all of the NHPR programs you love. NHPR.org is the website, 1-888-805-6477.
And how about that $10 a month? For your $10 a month sustaining gift, we will send you the Eton Emergency Radio. They are flying out the door this morning. This is a great compact item to have around your house. It's actually kind of good looking, too. You can listen to NHPR. You can crank it. You can use it to charge your cell phone in an emergency. We usually give it away for a gift of $240. Today, $10 a month as a sustainer. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Grupponi Auto Group, featuring multiple lines of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars at Grupponi Auto Junction in Bow and online 24 hours a day at grupponi.com. And from Flying Monkey Performance Center in Plymouth, presenting the Kings of Swing, Big Band Voodoo Daddy this Friday. Tickets at flyingmonkeynh.com. Good morning. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at a proposal to fund road and bridge repair with a higher gas tax here in the Granite State, 15 cents put in place over a couple of years. Join us with your thoughts, questions, comments on this. Is the way to go to pay for infrastructure here in New Hampshire or not? 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Representative Campbell, Senator Sanborn, here's an email that just came in from Debbie in Stratham, who says, I would like to see us change exchange to a mileage tax instead of a gas tax. This way, all users of our roads and bridges would be paying for their use. Right now, drivers of electric cars pay nothing. Drivers of hybrid cars pay less per mile than those driving regular cars. If we want this tax to be fair, everybody should pay based on what they use, says Debbie. And she raises another point, too. She says maybe it's time to bring back tolls on most roads and bridges. Easy Pass could make this pretty easy. So two separate questions. Debbie, thank you very much. To you first, Representative Campbell, what about this idea of a mileage tax? You pay per mile instead of per gallon. Other states are looking at this.
Everybody's looking at it, and I was on a commission 3 years ago that looked into this. Problem is the technology is not there. There are certain privacy issues as well. If you start putting little black boxes in people's cars, how far they drive, it is something that may be looked at in the future. To her point about high-efficiency vehicles and electric cars and hybrids, they're just not a major factor yet. They do all pay registration fees, as every vehicle does in the state, but they're less than one-half of 1% right now of all vehicles in the state.
Why are they often mentioned, then, as a reason for gas tax revenues going down? It's practically the first thing that people talk about.
Well, they are going down, but they're going down only about 0.5% a year projected out over 10 or 15 years. So, 10 years from now, gas volume will be down about 5%. So it's still a sustainable form of revenue for the near future, and that's what this commission came up with. There's basically three ways to deal with the sustainable revenue. One is the gas tax. The other is tolling. The other is registration fees. The email mentions tolling. The tolls, just so everybody knows, in the state, they deal with 90 miles of road. That's a turnpike system. Turnpike system runs from Seabrook to the Maine border, from the Portsmouth Traffic Circle up to Rochester, and from the Nashua border up to Concord. Those roads are paid for exclusively with toll money. It's not used for the 4,500 miles of other roads we're talking about.
Well, Debbie, thanks a lot for the email. Let's take another call. This is Tom in Peterborough. Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question, I guess, for both of your guests. I'm not sure if it's been discussed, but what about increasing licensing fees? Just because a license is a privilege, not necessarily a right. And, maybe there's a scale for, new people to a license. The 16, 17-year-olds might have to pay a little bit more. And then as you go through, depending on your age bracket, it's a different tax. But if it went up, I'm sorry, a different fee, if it went up to like $10 more per license, you get licensed every 2 years. I don't know how many people license themselves every year to get a driver's license, but maybe that could help offset this, or maybe it's in addition to any type of a gas tax. So,
well, license fees, yeah, and vehicle registration fees have certainly been a political football in the last couple of years, too. So go ahead, Senator Sanborn.
So, Tom, you sound like you're about 21 years old. So if we put in a specific $30 tax for every 21-year-old, you think it would upset the demographic? That's I say that tongue in cheek, and first of all, in New Hampshire, I believe if we're going to tax, we need to treat everyone fairly, so we can't demographically pick one universe over another universe. And sure, the kids aren't 18 years old yet, so maybe we could hit them with a bigger tax because they can't vote. But it really opens up a lot of angst in the system if you're specifically looking for one subsection of our society to try and get a tax from. I think it would be problematic.
What about a higher vehicle registration fee, though, or a higher licensing fee?
Well, I can tell you that when I first became a state senator, I was the guy that put legislation in to repeal the $30 increase. That was my bill. And again, it's very similar to the discussion we're having today, Laura. We raised taxes $35 to $75 a car in a registration tax, generated about $90 million. But only 30 of it actually went back to the community, which is how the bill was written and how the original bill to raise the tax was written and presented and sold to the legislature. So again, it just showed the concern that people have that government raises money and then they go use it for other purposes. If we're not going to use it for the intended purpose, we shouldn't be raising the tax. Same thing kind of where we are today with the gas tax.
This bill is originally drafted. Had 4, 4, and 4 on the gas tax and $5, $5, $5 phase in over 3 years on the reg fee. There was very little appetite for that in the legislature. So
your original bill was gas tax and increased
but
registration.
But that was pulled out because there's very little appetite for that. Remember, the gas tax is the ultimate user fee. And the great thing about it is out-of-staters pay it. If you have a reg fee increase, only people that pay it are in-state residents. When you have a gasoline tax, 10 to 20%, no one knows the exact number, of the revenue comes from out-of-state people. I always say, if you see somebody from out-of-state filling up at our pumps, go over and shake their hand and thank them for fixing our bridges and roads.
Darn right, we should. We should always thank people from out-of-state coming in to, because it's tourism and it's shopping and it's skiing. And, you know, part of this, we also have to remember this, you know, this $240 million increase of a tax, and that's per budget, Laura. So we're talking about $1 billion out of the pockets of the working people of this state. There's a secondary side to that, you know, the unintended consequences, because it means every business owner, every store owner, you know, I own a restaurant, my cost of product will now go up. So all of my goods will go up. I'm going to have to retransfer that. So we're going to see another increase at the retail level for every business. So people will be doubly whacked with the tax.
In this economy, this recovering economy, we've seen gasoline prices routinely go up in a month. Up 30 cents, down 40 cents, up 30 cents. They've swung up and down dramatically. I don't believe that a 12 or 15 cent increase phased in over 3 or 4 years, which a lot of people show it doesn't pass through penny for penny, is going to have a worse and more detrimental effect on our economy than having crumbling bridges, crumbling roads, bridges being put out of service, I-93 not working, and the major bridge over to the shipyard out of commission. I mean, these are things that take money. We can't fix the bridges and roads with words, and we can't fix it with ideology. We need money, and this is the fairest way of doing it.
Well, getting back to Debbie's email, what do you think, Senator Sandoval, about the second part of her email? She says maybe it's time to bring back tolls on most roads and bridges. EasyPass could make this pretty easy. Representative Campbell mentioned the limited amount of toll roads we have now. Is that an avenue to explore?
You know, Laura, it's a great question, and Deb, thanks so much for asking it. So we start at 100,000 feet, and we do have toll roads. We're collecting tolls on them, and that turnpike fund seems to always have a lot of money in it. So maybe the discussion needs to be more surrounded. Are we charging too much for tolls, or is there too much money in that fund, and we continue, maybe we need to pull money out of that, and that would solve our problem. And as the representative said, we continue to see government find these, you know, one-time fee, buy a piece of road we own and sell it to another agency that we own to try and collect $100 million here and $100 million there. It's that shuffling part of the fungible money that makes and should make taxpayers so concerned. I think pragmatically to start putting tolls up all around the state, especially since in the Senate we're trying to take some tolls down today. For all of our listeners down in Merrimack, I'm not sure where the representative stands on this, but we're actually trying to take tolls out. We're trying to cut taxes on people, not raise them.
We're out of gimmicks. We're out of one-time fixes. We need money to fix the roads and bridges, or they're going to get worse. It's fiscally irresponsible to kick a can down the road that gets bigger and bigger. It started off as a Coke can, now it's a paint can, pretty soon it's a garbage can. Then it's going to be a 55-gallon drum, but you won't be able to move. And we're giving this debt to the next generation. In 1991, you could pave for $51,000. You can pave 1 mile of road. Back then, $51,000 would pave 2.8 miles of road. Inflation is eating us up. We need to raise some revenue to fix our roads and bridges.
Well, just to wrap up with you both, gentlemen, Representative Campbell, just very quickly remind us what this vote in committee is about tomorrow, and then this thing goes back to the full House.
The Ways and Means Committee is looking at the bill that passed the House the other day that came from the Policy Committee, which is Public Works and Highways. Three Republicans and three Democrats and another representative are bringing an amendment to take the unrefunded toll money, which has been much talked about, as far as the diversion, and saying that that money will go to Betterment, which is a highway account that is divided by the six districts. And with that, taxpayers can be assured that in this legislature, every single penny, every dollar of that money raised will go to roads and bridges. Can we bind a future legislature? No. But I would certainly hope, with the discussion we're having, that anybody would pay a dear political price for daring to touch that money.
Okay, so it goes to the full House later. What are your hopes? What do you think? Is the full House going to go for this or not?
I'm hopeful based on the last vote it does, and then it will be up to the Senate and negotiations with that august body.
Okay, and speaking of that august body, Senator Sandborn, what's the Senate going to do if the House passes this gas tax?
I mean, I think the Senate realizes we're spending $600 million right now fixing our roads. So, you know, the call to arms that we're seeing, the call to arms that we're not doing anything just doesn't carry a lot of water, even in a 55-gallon drum bucket of water. We're spending $600 million, and we believe It's enough. And we've been very clear. We can't be raising taxes on people right now. We just can't.
Well, and the Senate's preferred revenue source seems to be casino gambling. We've done whole shows on that, Senator Sanborn. Oh, yeah. We'll do more on it. I want to thank both of you very much for joining me today. This has been real interesting. Senator Sanborn, thank you for being here.
As always, thanks so much, Laura.
And Representative David Campbell, thank you also for
thank
your time.
You. Thank you, Laura.
And this is The Exchange on NHPR. Before we go to our March Fund Drive, one important note. It is the birthday of our wonderful engineer, Dan Colgan. So, Dan, happy birthday. Let's check in with the March Drive.
Listening to NHPR makes your time more valuable, whether it's when you wake up or during your commute or on the weekend. We create that value with listener support, and it's the March Fund Drive. We're asking you to make your contribution now. Call 1-888-805-6477 or give online, nhpr.org. I'm Emily Corwin, and here is Rebecca Lavoie.
And we are asking you this morning to consider sustaining membership, not just because it's Dan Colgan's birthday, but because this morning the Mackinich Foundation is kicking in an extra $50 for everyone who becomes a sustaining member. That means we can withdraw just $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month from your credit card or your checking account. You never have to worry about being a member to NHPR or renewing, and we will get an extra $50 when you sign up that way. 1-888-805-6477. You can also become a sustaining member online at nhpr.org.
And we've got only 8 pledges to go, but we've also only got 4 minutes left to get these pledges in. Please join with other NHPR listeners and help pay for the exchange, pay for the other programs you love and love listening to. So every pledge makes a big difference. Please call 1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org.
We have heard from a ton of people this morning pledging at the $10 a month level. That's because we have a super special thank you gift. This morning we are giving you as a thank you the Eton Emergency Radio. Normally we give away this radio at a contribution level of $240. This morning it can be yours for $10 a month. It is a must-have for New Hampshire residents who occasionally lose power, and New Hampshire residents who love listening to the radio, which I'm suspecting you do. 1-888-805-6477. You can check out this hand crank cell phone charging power machine radio at nhpr.org and give your $10 a month gift.
And you've got only 3 minutes left to pledge 8. We need 8 pledges. 8 people are out there. We know you can do this. Help us out. Give us a call. Any amount of money will do. $60, $10, maybe a sustaining membership. Just do it now. 1-888-805-6477 is the number. You can also go online, nhpr.org.
When you call, you will be joining your friends and neighbors. Patty from Kittery in Maine, who says he loves it. Ruth from Durham, Guy from Keene, and Martha.